Please be seated. An old man is stumbling through the woods, totally drunk. He comes upon a preacher who is baptizing people in the river. So the old drunk, wanting to be friendly, walks into the water and he bumps into the preacher. The preacher turns around. Overcome by the smell of booze, he grabs the drunk and he asks him, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" "Well, yes, I certainly am," replies the drunk. So the preacher lifts him up and then dunks him into the river. He pulls him up and he asks the old drunk, "Brother, did you find Jesus?" The drunk replies, "No, I surely did not." The preacher is shocked at his answer. So he dunks him into the water again, but this time he holds him down a little bit longer. He pulls him up out of the water, and again he asks, "Have you found Jesus, my brother?" The drunk again answers, "No, I mostly have not found Jesus." By this time, the preacher is at its wit's end. So he dunks the drunk in the water again, but this time he holds him down for almost a minute. Well, the old drunk man begins kicking and flailing his arms and legs, and the preacher finally pulls him up, and then the preacher asks the man again, "For the love of God, man, did you find Jesus this time?" The drunk wipes his eyes, and he catches his breath, and he says slurringly to the preacher, "Are you really sure this is where he fell in?" Now, believe it or not, I thought of that story when I looked at today's lectionary text. Now, you don't realize this from the bulletin that you have, but this is the second Sunday after Christmas, and this second Sunday after Christmas doesn't occur every day, every year. Whether there is a second Sunday after Christmas depends on when Christmas Day falls, and whether there are two Sundays before the day of Epiphany, which is January 6th. So I guess since this Sunday doesn't happen that often, the framers of our lectionary have decided just to throw the Christmas leftovers against the wall and see if anything sticks. Now, again, you can't tell this from your bulletin, but with these inserts, there are actually three choices for a gospel lesson. Often we'll have choices with regard to the Old Testament lesson or the Psalms or the epistle reading, but very seldom are there choices when it comes to the gospel reading. But this week there are three: the story of the Holy Family fleeing to Egypt, the story of that you just heard of Jesus in the temple, and then the story also of the wise men coming to see Jesus. All these are, I guess, the rest of the Christmas story, if you will. Now, some of you know that Lori and I visited our daughters this week in Dallas, and the fact that there was also an Alabama playoff game in Dallas was entirely beside the point. But I will admit to you that before we left, after the Christmas services and before we left, when it came time to prepare a sermon, my heart wasn't in it. And I was more than content with taking the easy way out. I had three stories. I'd pick one, make a sermon out of it, and throw something in there about a Happy New Year, and all would be well. But as I began that task, I kept running into a brick wall. I knew I could preach about Herod and how he viewed Jesus' birth as a threat to the religious hierarchy, but I don't believe that. I think Herod's actions had everything to do with politics and absolutely nothing to do with theology. I could preach about the wise men searching for Jesus to worship him, but the truth is the wise men were pawns of Herod, sent to find the Christ child so that threat could be eliminated. And then, of course, I could preach about Jesus in the temple at the age of 12, astounding, and teaching the rabbis and the chief priests, but the truth is that's not much of a sermon, because I know a whole lot of 12-year-olds who have a whole lot more understanding of God than a whole lot of clergy do. And in my search for a sermon, in my search for a way to wrap up the Christmas story, I realized that there was something that all of these stories shared. In every single case, people were looking for Jesus. They were all different people looking for Jesus for a variety of different reasons, but looking nonetheless. And it occurred to me that the Christmas story really doesn't matter much unless our lives of faith are spent doing the same. Looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus with the same diligence and persistence as the characters in our stories. Since the time I first understood language, I knew who Jesus was. It was simply the way I was raised. But I'll admit to you that I never saw Jesus until I started looking, until I started searching. And my life changed forever when I started looking for God. Now, I know I've shared this story with you time and again, and I make no apologies for repeating it, because it is a profound moment in my life and was when I think maybe I saw Jesus for the very first time. And she didn't look a thing like I was expecting. Her name was Cindy, and I met her in a homeless mission in New York City. Cindy had been a foster child, had been physically and sexually abused, had become a prostitute, a drug addict, was infected with the AIDS virus, had given birth to 6 crack babies, all of whom were taken away from her by the state. Hers was not a pretty story. But when I met Cindy, she had been clean and sober for 2 years, had gotten one of her children back, and she was actually working for the homeless mission where we were visiting. I was absolutely fascinated by her story. I wanted to know how she changed her life. What gave her the courage to turn her life around? And she told me she knew all about Jesus. And while in the streets, there was no limits to the number of people who wanted to talk to her about salvation and God and church and sin. But she told me it wasn't until she actually saw Jesus that any of that stuff mattered. And I will never forget her exact words. She said, "It wasn't until I found people who spent less time talking about Jesus and more time acting like him that any of that stuff mattered." That is profound. Less time talking about Jesus and more time acting like him. And that the profound understanding I came to that day was that knowing about Jesus wasn't enough. Knowing Jesus just makes the Christmas story and everything else, frankly, just nice stories in a nice book. But it's when we search for Christ, or at least keep our eyes open, that the risen Christ can be made known through those who don't merely proclaim his words, but those who live them. And my friends, I assure you, the Christ we all seek won't look a thing like he's supposed to. In fact, whenever I see him, my reaction usually gives me a jolt because my eyes almost involuntarily turn the other way. And I usually don't like where I find him, and sometimes even what he has to say. God knows most wouldn't like his politics or his stance on the social issues of the day, because we want Jesus dressed in his Sunday best. We want him to be polished. We want charisma and personality. We want him to be like somebody who would live in our neighborhoods. But if we truly look for Jesus, that simply is not the way it is. Like Mary and Joseph and Herod and wise men, we all come from different perspectives in our search for Christ. We all search for different reasons. Sometimes we search for a pastor, a teacher, a friend. Sometimes we seek him out for excitement or peace or relief or answers, a way out of whatever it is. And sometimes we even seek him to pick a fight. And the questions always seem to be greater than the answers. Do we recognize Jesus in the crowd or in the faces of the people we see? Are we looking for Jesus, or are we really looking for something else? Something that won't make us uncomfortable or out of place? Are we looking for transformation? Are we looking for comfort during our mourning? Are we looking for guidance during the difficult times of our lives? And the answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes to all of those things. But make no mistake, the finding is worth it. In fact, the finding is worth everything. Because it's in that place that transforms us. It's that place where we truly can love a little deeper, forgive a little faster, understand a little better, hope a little longer, believe a little greater. It's that place where we can give a little more, where we can remember with a little more gratitude, where we can celebrate, give thanks, rejoice, all with an incredible sense of awe and wonder, no matter the time of year. Folks, don't be content with who people tell you Jesus is. Don't be content with messengers or pastors or priests and what they have to say about your Savior. Search for God as shepherds did. Long for God as parents did. Seek and worship Him as wise men did. Risk whatever it takes to see Christ, because God will respond to those who seek Him. Not those who seek doctrine or religion or systems or creeds as substitutes. A whole lot of people settle for that. But God responds to those who settle for nothing less than Jesus Himself. And then, and only then, can Christmas truly become a part of our very being. And folks, that is a New Year's resolution you can bank on. God love you. Amen.